I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, you lovely lot. Welcome along to the Football Ramble. The deal is done for Messi. We're all heading to Paris for a glass of Carabao. It's Wednesday, the 11th of August. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Are you laughing about how I said Carabao?
No, I was laughing at the idea of someone drinking an energy drink out of a glass.
Yeah. A caribou is an animal, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's the same thing. Isn't a Carabao a caribou?
Oh, isn't that on the logo?
That's on the logo.
Yeah. Get it together.
Well, I'm just saying.
Carabao. I'm sure I should know this being Filipino, but I'm almost certain that Carabao in the Philippines actually translates as cow or bull.
Right, okay.
I might be wrong.
So comes like out the taps, that juice.
Is it like a knockoff Red Bull they've just disguised really well?
You know what? I had one the other day. They do a green apple flavour.
Ooh.
It's not too bad.
I wouldn't mind a bit of that.
It tastes like an appetizer. Much better than a Red Bull. Can we say that?
Yeah.
Look, Carabao's got our hearts and Red Bull ain't spending, so who cares?
Absolutely.
Jim Campbell used to do a bit of stand-up where he described one of those energy drinks as like drinking a tattoo.
Yes.
And it's always stuck in my mind.
Relentless.
Yeah, relentless. It's like drinking a tattoo. Very angry, acidic water.
You always feel a bit wrong after an energy drink, I think.
It's like a really false kind of buzz, isn't it?
I've started slamming them in the morning because I've got quite a long commute. And then I get on my skateboard.
Caffeine doesn't do it anymore.
No. It doesn't touch the sides anymore, I know.
How are you, boys? It's been a while.
Good, yeah.
Yeah?
Great.
Just raring to go.
But me and
energised with all this energy drink chat.
Me and Jules kind of bookended the COVID situation. You had it quite early. I've had it quite late.
Yeah,
and we're all kind of meeting in the middle, I guess. When are you going to have a gym?
I don't know.
When are you going to get a gym?
Well, you're double
never.
Jabbed now.
Yeah.
Never.
People still get it. Friend of mine got it. Double
I
jabbed.
I got it.
Lost a hearing.
I was double jabbed.
Lost a hearing.
Lost a hearing. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Weird, isn't it?
Oh, how's she going to hear your excellent stand-up?
She's
How
heard
can she
it.
Hear the football ramble?
She doesn't listen to it. She'll be fine.
Did you lose your taste, Pete?
I did, yeah. Mm. I must admit, I put some Tabasco on a scone. I just wanted to feel something.
Apparently, there's a few people, because I lost my taste, but it came back and I didn't have anything too weird when it happened to me. But one of my mates has recently had COVID, lost his taste, and now things taste really different. So he was eating something sweet the other day and it tasted of rotten fish.
Oh, my God.
So he's a lot of rotten fish.
The taste is all wrong. Like, things taste different to what they should.
That's
so, like,
dying it.
It taste like broccoli and, like, coffee tastes like milkshake.
I think it could be quite fun for like a day.
Oh, healthy. Yeah. You'd be eating kale and going, chocolate again, mummy, is it? My middle toe went numb. Anyway, why did my toe go numb?
Yeah, so one of my weird side effects from having the jab, my shins hurt. What?
Right.
Why?
That's really weird.
Yeah, it's not like I go running.
Andy Cole, shin splints. Lovely old job.
Yeah, weird shin pain.
That is odd.
So odd.
Did they jab you in the shin?
No, they didn't. Although I did wear, for my second jab, I wore a one shoulder like long sleeve top.
Oh, nice. Put it in that one.
No, it was the wrong one.
Oh, no. What are you doing, man?
I should have worn the top backwards. anyways, it's good to be back and here on a day where I guess it's like one of the biggest stories that could ever happen in football. The world's, arguably the world's best ever player, Messi, has left Barcelona, has joined PSG. It is official. It was all sort of like drip fed through, wasn't it, yesterday? Yeah. First of all, we saw him just wearing the T-shirt that said Paris on it. And then we saw him in a PSG shirt. It looks weird.
It does look weird. It's like
so weird.
It's the ultimate example of a player looking wrong in a kit, isn't it? I think I don't think I've ever seen an example of it as extreme.
Yeah, I mean, even Dybeck, I thought, looked a bit weird in a PSG kit. Dybeck. But I think that bit where he was on the balcony, was it at the airport or something? It just looked a bit Iran embassy siege. Yes. It looked a bit like, oh, what's going on there?
Does he want
what's
to happening? Be Does here? He want to be? Yeah. Why is he so heavily cornered like this? It's kind of ironic that something happening in Paris is the least romantic thing that you could possibly imagine, isn't it?
So, is there anything nice about this deal? Because let's try and be nice about this. I'm trying to think about whether or not this could be the time that a few opinions about PSG may change. Like, are they becoming slightly more likeable with Pochettino and now Messi, or is it actually getting worse?
I think it's getting worse, actually. I mean, we'll come on to it, but if you look at the transfer window they've had, it's actually mightily impressive, and fair play to the people who've got it all over the line in terms of not spending a transfer fee on anyone other than Hakimi. But yeah, it feels to me, and it's not just PSG, there's a little bit of this with City as well. And this is not to have a dig at City or their fans, because it's not their fault, is it? But, you know, they own multiple teams over the world. Mm. It feels, this is exactly what it would be like if, like, Disney or Marvel, like, bought a football team and chucked them into a league. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It just doesn't feel the same. It's just so stacked in the favour of these super clubs now, who aren't even necessarily the traditional big name powerhouses, who have got themselves tied themselves in all kinds of knots trying to compete with this. And it, you know, this is probably me showing my age. Obviously, things change over time and things are cyclical and, you know, change is the only constant. But it just feels like these teams are so far in front that they're just stockpiling like the greatest players that are playing the game today. Not just some of them, like all of them. And it's just
all
a
in
bit
one
like,
team.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Look, I mean, the silver line for me is Julian Laurent is getting kicked left, right and centre. I love him, but he is so kind of defensive about PSG at the moment. Yeah. On everything he's on, everyone's going, yeah, but it's a bit rubbish that they're buying these players. He's going, we had Fabrice Pancrat weeks ago, like, you know, years ago. You know, we had to put up with the crap back in the day. We deserve this sort of thing. Mm. And you know, would it be more romantic if you went to Manchester City? Would it be more romantic if you went to Manchester United? Would it be wrong? I happen to think that we went past that point a long time ago. Yeah. Anybody stockpiling all these players, it's unromantic, but football's unromantic. I'm not going to crunch my pearls about it, to be quite frank. If he just said, oh, I'll stick around and I'll play for Barcelona for free and all that bollocks, I don't buy it. The reason why everyone's upset about Messi going to PSG is that he's not Cristiano Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo, I think we view him through a different sort of cynical prism.
Yeah.
He's for the money. He's for the abs. He's for the
me. Status
and
legacy.
Messi's a bit more of a team player. He's people sort of
well,
think
I think
more
we
fondly
that
upon him.
Him.
Yeah, exactly.
It might not necessarily be the case.
Exactly.
It's because he's been a one club man until now. That's
absolutely
the difference.
And he's sort of small and adorable, and like he just seems to cut a very different type of figure, doesn't he? But I think I have to say as well, like, football is such a tribal thing. If Jeff Bezos bought Arsenal and put the stadium in space, I'd be like, brilliant, great. Like, as long as we were winning stuff and had amazing players, I'm sure I would be sucked into it as well. But it is just, I feel like this transfer window has been such a sort of microcosm of the haves and the have-nots, obviously because of COVID. There's not a huge amount of business happening in the sort of, kind of the smaller level signings, you might say.
Are you continuing your shout? Are you going further?
I'm going
into
big
your
on how this is going to be a really crazy transfer
deadline day. Okay,
but you've still got like a lot of like you know,
are you trying
north
to tell me Tammy
Abraham's
going to sign for Brighton on deadline day?
I would love to tell you that and mean it.
Please.
It could, I suppose it could happen. Apparently he's agreed terms with Arsenal, but I feel nervous about Chelsea selling his players. He'll have like, that won't be, there'll be a bomb in his throat or something. I don't wanna, I don't trust it. But yeah, I mean, who knows? Who knows? I think there might be a couple of those moves on
there
transfer deadline day because there's a lot
there?
Of brinkmanship, isn't there? But like I say, there's still these massive, massive transfers happening as well with the teams that can afford to like weather the storm. So it's like business as usual for them while everyone else is struggling a bit. And it just feels a bit like is this bubble ever going to burst? Because it's surely as close to it as it's ever going to be.
Is half of this deal all about Doha in a year's time? Is this all about, you know, he's going to be all over. He's going to be draped all over that World Cup, isn't he,
yeah.
Leo Messi? I mean, he's on much less money than he would be at Barcelona, apparently. He was 110 million per year at Barcelona. And, and the deal is 35 million per year at PSG. So he'll have some kind of ambassadorial role for that particular tournament, presumably.
And plus bonuses. And God
knows
what
their bonuses
are. Yeah.
That'll be his bonuses.
Also, I mean, who knows how the deal is structured, but there will probably be, his image rights probably come into that as well. Because that's a whole new platform to use Messi in, which is absolutely massive. I think PSG themselves have said it's worth the money. He'll pay for himself, because of the commercial deals they can do.
I'm trying to get into the head of... I wonder how Messi has felt about this whole thing, because obviously we saw all of his emotions in the goodbye presser at Barcelona, which he basically cried through the whole thing, and it was super emotional. And we all know he kind of didn't really want to leave Barcelona. And you know, if he could have stayed, then maybe he would have. But for whatever reasons, he's had to move on. I want to know how he feels about actually, like, the real feelings of him going to PSG and how he feels playing for them, and whether, you know, if they do go on and finally win the Champions League, PSG, which with that team, my God, if they don't now, when are they ever going to win it kind of thing?
Yeah.
I wonder how that would stack up for him in terms of all the things he's achieved winning the Champions League with a team like PSG.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
With those players.
It makes me think of when I was a kid playing a game in a park, and it was like the best game of football I think any of us had ever been involved in. It was one of those, you know, you play football in a park when you're a kid and you play till there's about 40 goals been scored on either side and you only stop when the sun goes down. It was like particularly end-to-end and it was really close, even though there had been so many goals scored. And then one of the bullies from school turned up and he just started hitting everyone and he scored. He was declared it next goal wins and he scored and everyone was too scared to go... I'm not going to argue with this. Let's just go home. This was great until it got ruined by this display of power.
Jim is the bully.
It feels a bit like that, doesn't it? That just a bit too stacked in their favour.
It would have been fun if Messi had decided, you know what, let's just do something that's going to surprise everyone. I'll go to a National League side and see how far I can take them. See if I can get a National League side by the time I retire up to the Champions League. Yeah. That would have been a bit more fun,
injured
wouldn't it?
Within the week. Out for the season.
I can't remember whether I said this on the show or in the studio yesterday or the other day, but surely Napoli. Napoli is the one following the footsteps of El Diego.
Well, you know what? There were rumours actually this morning, I think as soon as this morning, that Messi actually was seriously tempted by a late offer from Atletico Madrid and actually spoke to Diego Simeone.
Oh, wow.
I want to put the cat amongst the pigeons.
Imagine him and Simeone working together.
Him and Suarez getting the band back together. That'd be great.
God.
They need firepower, that team.
It is a shame, though, isn't he, that he didn't go out a little bit out of left field?
I think so.
Yeah, but football's crap now. Are we forgetting? There's no romance in it anymore. It's Don't worry about it.
It's true.
And every romantic story is... like carefully curated by some social media manager somewhere.
Well, yeah, clubs have agencies not just for their image, but for their narrative. Their relationships with their own fans. And you see it all the time. Like when it's done.
That's all Arsenal do now, surely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of social media.
Sack the dinosaur? Were they like, fuck the dinosaur.
Neymar posted "back together" as a quote above a montage of him and Messi's best goals and assists from their time together at Barcelona. So them two are back together at least.
It's better than him posting that sort of stuff about his sister, I suppose.
What did you make of the announcement video? They're always a bit of a thing. And obviously we've got the world's best player moving to PSG. I was expecting something. I don't really know what this was. It was this weird, if you haven't seen it, kind of like a computer-generated drone flying through the club shop at Paris Saint-Germain and then through the stadium and then eventually... leading up. Was that it? Were you just trying to watch it there? Leading down to Messi on the pitch, but a computer generated image of Messi, think.
And it also it had the music from The Dark Knight.
Very dramatic.
Really like, chuck, 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 chuck.
What annoyed me about it is like we obviously knew that the ending, the climax would be Messi on the pitch wearing a PSG shirt.
Yeah.
And my God, did they go the long way around? I was like, just get to the bloody point here.
Well, they went through every item that you can buy from the club shop. That's why. You got
a little IKEA sign, how much it all costs, sort of thing. I mean, was that all done in one shot, or did they record the start of it and then?
It looked a one shot, but I don't know if it's real.
It went into the sky at one point. I'm thinking where the cut is. You know,
this is the world we live in now. Like, I'm
don't believe anything.
I don't know if that's real or not. I can't tell.
Might have just put stuck Messi's head on. Might have just been the FIFA model.
Yeah, it looks a lot like FIFA.
It's a bit of an anti-climax video, though, isn't it? Considering how big this is.
Yeah.
Although I suppose I had to do it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I do it pretty quickly, I guess.
I always TikTok. Mock these things, and it's like, well, I mean, we literally had 10 minutes to make it. Chill out.
Yeah.
Get the piano out. Come on.
So, I mean, we're all sort of decrying how unromantic this is. Mm. But at the same time, we are now going to get to potentially, unless Real Madrid sign Mbappe because they too are ignoring their balance sheet, we are potentially going to see Messi, Mbappe and Neymar in the same team.
That's going to be a dream, right?
That's lock on a bridge romantic for me.
How are they affording that, though?
Well, if they're not paying a transfer fee for Messi, and I mean, they're not paid a transfer fee for anyone, have they? I mean,
without breaching FFP, it's
well,
just,
yeah.
How do you?
I don't know.
Isn't Spain the kind of the ideal when it comes to you know making teams live within their means and weirdly having two of the worst offenders of that particular issue? But like,
well, that's because of the TV money, though. Yeah. Isn't it? They get 30%. I believe they get 30% each. Mm. And that the two big clubs and the rest have to split it between them. That certainly has been the case in the past anyway.
So just to clarify, is there at least a little bit of excitement about seeing Messi play for PSG?
Yeah, I would like to see them tear it up in the Champions League and not win it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, going to be funnier when they fuck it up. Come on now.
Okay.
Don't win the league, don't win the Champions League, get knocked out of the cup.
But Poch.
Lovely.
But we like Poch.
We do like Poch.
Yeah, he doesn't really like winning cup competitions anyway, does he?
Oh, so it's the Arsenal fan.
Well, he thinks it's beneath him for some reason. So maybe it'll work out and we'll all get what we want.
Yeah.
There we go. Wow. Messi
Strasbourg
in a PSG.
On Saturday. Bring it on.
Messi in a PSG shirt. Wow. Okay. Well, there we go. Speaking of Spain, we were just talking a little bit about this and kind of nudging to it. There's all sorts of weird stuff going on at the moment that I'm honestly still trying to understand it. And the more and more I read about this, the more confusing it gets. But essentially, Real Madrid's board have unanimously agreed to launch civil and criminal lawsuits against the La Liga president. And this is all to do with the proposed deal with the private equity firm CVC. Now, this deal was called Boost La Liga. It was thought to be saving Barcelona from letting Messi go last week. But in actual fact, Barcelona and Real Madrid are actually against this deal completely. And it's all to do with, as you were mentioning a minute ago, Jim, all this TV revenue and the fact that they take a percentage of it. What do you make of all this? I mean, it's so confusing. And I don't understand things at the best of times, let alone all these numbers.
Yeah. To be honest, when I saw Boost La Liga, I thought it was another energy drink. Like wheedling its way into football. I think what would happen is that CVC, which sounds like a shopping channel you'd have worked for in the past. they get a 10% share of the league's TV rights for the next 50 years, which is, that's a huge, huge amount
Massive.
Of time.
Yeah.
So, you know, Barcelona and Madrid in particular, because things are so heavily stacked in their favour, they don't want that in the long term. I think they're thinking, well, if we can get ourselves out of this, you know, billion euro mess somehow, in the long term, it will be better for us to have not said yes to this. But I think obviously the other clubs in the league would be like, yeah, we'd love some money. We'd love to be able to sort of compete. So
it's the amount of money that would have allowed them to keep Messi. That's what makes me giggle. It's clearly that kind of thing.
But that's how serious this is to them. And also, I mean, if you are in charge at Real Madrid and Barcelona, of course you need to look after yourself.
Yeah, and also, you know, blood in the water. Like, you know, the sharks start circling. Right? We could get a 50-year premium on a lot of rights. It's an incredible investment.
It's madness, really. There's 51 legal actions brought against La Liga by Real Madrid since 2015. 21 of those still ongoing.
Yeah.
What yeah. a mess.
And you get the feeling that because PSG are owned by the people that they're owned, and they, as I said yesterday, they didn't go for the European Super League, the governing bodies would look more favourably upon those teams than Barcelona and Real Madrid.
Well, there were wicked whispers that Laporta, Perez and Agnelli were seen having dinner together recently.
Of course
very recently.
Now that's romantic. So
they're still not giving up on the Super League, I would imagine.
Were they drinking?
Because they really, really need it.
Were they drinking a Carabao green apple? Was that it?
I don't know. Swan's blood, I would imagine. Yeah.
Meanwhile, and this is the thing with when we talk about money in football, and we know that there's like one end of the scale and then the other. The Italian and French champions Inter and Lille are both teetering on the verge of bankruptcy this calendar year. It's like how you have one extreme and the next, yeah. don't you?
It's scary because you've got to think of the whole pyramid as well. If clubs sort of, we know clubs lower down are suffering after COVID, and if it looks like so many teams are in danger across the board, and
We need to reach the league.
Some sort of equilibrium. Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
Absolute madness. Right, we're going to take a short break now. When we come back, let's talk about a bit of madness in the Carabao Cup last night.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
You better get your finger out, all right, and make sure that you get the fucking results.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It's George, Jim and Pete here with you this Wednesday. Now it is time for a bit of this.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. I'll be in my head for a week now. James Sordillo has been in touch. So obviously we asked last week if you've got any dilemmas that you need our help with, and you have replied in your droves. So James Sordillo, or Sordillo, don't know which, says, the changes to the Football Ramble in recent years have been really positive, but I didn't see parenting help tips and tricks coming. That's quite the swerve. Yet here we are.
Yes.
Anyway.
Didn't want me giving them.
Well,
Maybe we do.
Depends what you say, I suppose. Anyway, as an Oxford fan, I've recently had a child with a Leicester fan, and we live in Leicester. The first few months became a bit of a club merchandise arms race, which I've relinquished. She's 6 months old. She doesn't care. Now, any ideas how I can ensure our daughter grows up an Oxford United fan? I love her, but I'm prepared to put her through the suffering of being a football fan brings. I'm really up against it here, living on the outskirts of Leicester with half of her family being passionate Leicester fans, but I'm keen that I'm prepared for the key years of development to make sure she supports an average League One side over the current FA Cup winners. All help appreciated as to how I achieve this.
What I'd like is if she actually became an Oxford City fan, just to go against you and your other half as well. That would be quite funny. How do you do this, Pete? Come on, help.
I mean, you
help James out.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you kind of like lure someone into a team like Oxford United? What have they got?
Well, I think what you do is you become a really, really overbearing parent with really high academic standards.
Right.
So you plant the idea of going to Oxford University into the kid's head really, really young.
Right.
You perhaps give them the His Dark Materials to read,
right,
get them obsessed with that, because that's a lot of that is set in Oxford. And the idea of just like, you basically make your love dependent on them getting into Oxford University.
Cool.
So then, yeah, exactly. You went to Leicester, didn't you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, can that compare, really? University wise?
I could, De Montfort can't. No, Leicester's a decent university, but De Montfort's a pretty pedestrian one.
Yeah.
Apologies to everyone. Just got A-level results yesterday.
They didn't let you graduate because of library fines. So
true.
Screw them.
Fuck them.
Yeah. So obviously,
are you serious?
Yeah, I know, right?
That's amazing.
Mum's fuming.
That's so Pete.
So yeah, I mean, that's obviously terrible advice. So has anyone got anything better?
I mean, it's going to be pretty hard to convince right now. Leicester are like everyone's other team,
exactly,
and everyone likes.
Yeah,
aren't
it's a better city for me. I like Leicester.
You're fucked, James.
Oxford's like bikes everywhere.
I think
canals, boring.
You might have to just take her to both, so that as a sort of compromise, she will still have a soft spot for Oxford,
right,
and maybe go there later on.
Listen,
or to have them as a
Oxford
second team.
Could be like the greens. You got to eat your greens before you get your dessert.
Yeah.
I was at Perez, whack a ball wide from 6 yards.
What stadium do you think sounds more appealing to a young child? The Kassam Stadium or the King Power?
I don't know what Kassam is. It's Kassam.
I'm
is
not
it
sure.
Short for something? King Power sounds awesome.
Yeah,
King Power.
We're not helping here, James.
No, we're not. But I think sometimes a cold, hard dose of reality is useful.
True. True. Got an email from Matthew Gawler. Could you settle this ongoing question I have rattling around in my head a worrying proportion of the time? I'm a Charlton fan. So by law, whenever I tell anyone who I support, I follow it with "for my sins." My question to you all, therefore, is what's the highest level and highest team you are allowed to use for my sins when telling someone who you support? For example, if a Spurs, Arsenal, or even Newcastle fan uses "for my sins," is this allowed? Is there a definitive threshold, or should each case be judged on its own merits? I've personally used "for my sins."
I've definitely used "for my sins." I know a United fan, Man United fan, who has used "for my sins" before.
Oh, piss
in, as in
off.
Like in the bad stage post Fergie.
Yeah. Still though.
When
for
they
my
had the
sins.
Hardest time of any football fans ever.
Oh no.
Yeah. I mean, I
That's
stay
not
for
allowed,
Arsenal,
by the way.
But I also I live quite near the stadium and I do covet my neighbour's oxen. So it's all kind of
Carabao, mate.
Like, you know, tied together with my actual sins.
Right. Okay.
I think it depends how you're saying it, doesn't it? Because generally, when people say it, they say it with a very big dollop of irony.
Yeah.
So if you do support a top tier team,
for my sins,
exactly.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Because you might be saying, "Oh, I am actually a bit of a glory hunter." I think it's a universal term. Depends on the tone in which it's said for me.
I mean, a lot of teams. Man City were founded by churches. So you could say "for my sins."
Yeah.
Because it's a church side, effectively, isn't it?
I guess so. I suppose it depends on what branch of Christianity the church is in.
Oh, yeah. North of the border is problematic. Don't worry about it. But, but
yeah,
Man City, it's fine.
So, Matthew, I think to summarise, and in order to answer your question, "for your sins" is definitely allowed for Charlton, I'd say.
Mm, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's questionable once you get mid-table Premier League.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Depends on the suffering
To be fair, you are a sufferer, and I would say Arsenal fans probably are allowed it because you're going down. Actually, you know what I mean?
Exactly, that's downhill. Right. Yeah. So if you were to say that now, it probably wouldn't work as much because Brighton are on the up. Whereas
I wouldn't say we're on the up.
Don't be putting ideas in my head.
We ain't got a striker, mate. Well, we do, but not a very good one.
Just take Eddie Nketiah.
He's
speak
injured.
To someone. Yeah, but you know, that won't be our problem soon.
Oh, right. Well, if you do have any problems that you'd like us to solve or any questions, please do send them in for us. However bizarre, we love hearing from you. show@footballramble.com or you can tweet us at Football Ramble. Right, last night, bit of Champions League qualification. Mm-hmm. It's never too early for a bit of Champions League football, and Rangers are out already.
Yeah, non-qualification is the issue there, isn't it?
I didn't see. Wow. I was expecting Rangers to have another really good season, but they've now lost 3 games on the bounce for the first time under Stevie G.
Yeah. When Morelos scored the first goal, the noise in the stadium.
My friend was actually there because she hosts for Rangers TV, my mate Becky, and she said it was absolutely incredible because she started working for them last year during the pandemic. Mm. So she's not been to Ibrox since there have been fans. And I mean, she said it was absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Even just from the highlights, the noise looked absolutely unreal. It's a shame, obviously, they couldn't then not fuck it up after Malmo went down to 10 men. But yeah, it was Bonker Innocent, wasn't it?
Bonker Innocent. Got sent off. What a name.
Yeah. Bonked it too hard.
Bonker Guilty.
His second yellow was a bit of a joke. I didn't think he should have gone, to be honest. He didn't deserve that at all. But yeah, terrible for Stevie G, isn't it?
Yeah, not good for them. The champions of the Moldovan top flight, Sheriff Tiraspol, I think is how you say it. They're 2 games away, though, from Champions League after beating Red Star Belgrade. This is an amazing story.
Yeah, that's massive. There's your romance.
there's your romance.
Finally got there.
Look, we know where the romance is going to live. It's going to be in the UEFA Conference League. That's where it is going to be. But I think their badge is hilariously like a sheriff's badge.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Well worth checking. It had to be, didn't it?
Oh, so it isn't like just a word.
No, it's a sheriff's badge. Like it's funny. It's in that like weird like breakaway state, that old kind of Soviet state in Moldova that's like really near Ukraine.
Wow.
And it's only recognised by 3 other breakaway states in the region, in Georgia and stuff. It's a fascinating place. I'd very much like to visit Transnistria.
The Wild East.
You know what? When I was, I went on a little 4-night, very quick trip to Gibraltar, which is on the green list with my friend, with Becky actually, who was at Rangers last night. And while we were out there, we saw that, so there's a Gibraltar National Stadium, even though it's like the tiniest country, of course, they've got a national football stadium. We're like, oh, I wonder what's going on there. We found out that actually the night before we arrived, there was actually a Champions League qualifier game played
Lovely.
There. It was only a fiver for tickets. We were absolutely gutted that we missed it. and it was, I believe it was Cluj who were playing their qualifier there and they won. I can't remember who it was against, but they had like all the UEFA flags up. And I thought, this is so weird. Like
a super
random stadium in Gibraltar of all places. And there was a Champions League qualifier.
Again,
there's
your romance. Yeah. More romance.
Yeah, it was.
Just got to go off the beaten track a little bit nowadays.
Yeah, there you go. Right, on to the Carabao Cup last night. So obviously the League Cup getting underway. 11 penalty shootouts. Yeah. We love it.
Everyone got excited in the Euros. Wants to get involved.
Yeah, 28 games there were last night and there were 11 penalty shootouts. The one that really stands out is Derby, who were taken all the way by League Two Salford. Obviously, Wayne Rooney playing against his the owners of, obviously, former Man United friends.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a bit of a shambles, Derby, aren't they?
What's going on there?
They've got a transfer embargo. There's all sorts going on. They barely scrape past Salford.
That said,
the manager lives in the office. And the manager's Wayne Rooney somehow. I know that this has been the case for ages, but my head still won't accept it.
He's bombed out David Marshall in bins, and I thought the keeping was atrocious in that match. Yeah. It really, really was. But good free kick kind of recovery.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Ravel Morrison. Brilliant. That was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good to actually, you know, see what he can do, because we've heard so much about what he can do in training, but we've rarely seen it. It's like, oh, there it is.
You get a couple of games out of him.
I honestly hope that, I don't know, maybe the siege mentality that has to be there will be really good for him, because his whole career has been defined by having something to prove, isn't it? And now that's all Derby have got to fuel themselves. So it could be brilliant.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Ravel Morrison's first goal in English football since 2014. He's played for 8 clubs since then.
Mm.
From Mexico, Italy to Sweden. Why the hell has he gone back to Derby? I'd have stayed in Italy or Mexico if I were him.
Yeah, absolutely. The kits in Mexico, my God. But yeah, I think it's Rooney using his old United contacts, isn't it? It's got to be.
Yeah.
Got to be the Rooney factor.
Rian Brewster finally got a goal for Sheffield United after 32 games. That was his first ever goal for them.
Bit of a tap-in as well.
But it's good though, isn't it?
He needed it. That might be what sets him off,
completely,
as they say.
Because you don't want to see a young player kind of have this horrible kind of albatross following them around for a bit. So hopefully, for his sake, that he can just find his feet now, establish himself, become a big player for Sheffield United. Because it's always a bit sad, isn't it, when you see a player with a big reputation not quite manage to sort of live up to it immediately. You wonder what it does to them mentally. So good luck to him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And Fergie, he went to watch his son, Darren's team, Peterborough, play last night. It's always good to see Fergie in the stands, isn't it? Unfortunately, they got absolutely thrashed, Peterborough. They've got beaten 4-0 by Plymouth. Ouch. You don't really want that to happen in front of your dad, do you?
No, not in your fourth spell at the club, I mean, after playing for them.
Forest Green, they beat Bristol City on penalties after a 96th minute equaliser to draw 2-2. No wins in 11 for Nigel Pearson, who's not having the best of times. And Tammy Abraham's brother, we spoke about Tammy Abraham already, hopefully he does come and sign from Brighton and not Arsenal, scored for Newport, his brother. And his name is Timmy Abraham.
Love it.
They couldn't think of another name. They just sort of changed the vowel.
They have very similar hair as well, which I'm enjoying immensely.
Is there a Tommy?
I hope so.
Or maybe a Tummy. That'd be Tommy. Better.
Tommy and Tammy.
Little Tommy Abraham.
Oh, dear. There we go. That's the Carabao Cup. So as I've already said, I'm hoping that Brighton do sign a striker, but other things that are happening. So it looks as though the Lukaku move is pretty much done, but he can't play in the Super Cup tonight. What do you make of him at Chelsea? Are they going to win the league?
I think they've actually got a really good shout. Everyone's just assuming that Man City are going to win the league, but Chelsea have got such a strong squad now and an amazing manager. He's, you know, probably the missing part of that puzzle, isn't he? So I think it could be a shootout between those two.
Yeah, me too. Pete, what do you think?
As I said yesterday, as long as he gets his penalties, as long as he takes penalty duties off the other players, I think he's going to score an absolute hatful. But he's such a...
You reckon he'd take the pens away from Jorginho?
Yeah. Well, because that's how he scored, like, I think 7 or something in Italy, and that really added to his tally quite handsomely.
Yeah.
So I think if you're going to come in for that amount of money, you'd be like, I'm on pens, please, thank you.
Oh, straight in my fantasy team. Straight in there.
Have you got your little mini league running again?
Don't you worry. Oh. Battle the Breach, it's up and running. And this time, Lars is not going to beat me due to some shoddy Bruno Fernandes fake assist that never should have been. I'm coming for you, Lars, this year.
Fantasy football VAR.
Yeah. Luke Moore still has not given me dinner, and he promised me it because I beat him.
He's not here. He's running away.
And where is he?
I don't know.
Where's he gone?
No one's seen him.
Back to the transfers, though. Tanguy Ndombele could be on his way out of Spurs.
Timmy and Ndombele.
Nuno said earlier this week he's not in the right moment to join the group. I love not in the right moment. He didn't feature in the friendly against Arsenal at the weekend. However, Nuno apparently hasn't spoken to him about his future. Apparently, he doesn't like confrontation. Tanguy doesn't.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Nuno speak to anyone?
It's weird, isn't it? It's like, yeah, I'll talk to Harry Kane next week.
How about you do it now?
I know.
Season starts in 2 days.
It's strange, isn't it? I think it's an interesting one with Ndombele because obviously he's a very quiet character. And I guess you have to manage each person according to their personality. But apparently Nuno isn't big on having one-on-ones with players. It's all about, you know, the group and systems and players fitting within it. And it sounds like Ndombele's, because he's quite... Maverick's not quite the right word because I think it does him a disservice, but he's a very creative, spontaneous player, isn't he?
Really,
I think that's how you get the best out of him.
When he's in form,
absolutely.
Isn't he?
So if you put him in a rigid system, you wonder is that going to be the best thing for him? But like,
where's he going to go?
They should be having a chat, surely.
But where's he going to go? Well, he's not been the fittest of all the footballers at that particular football club. But who'd want him? Like, because he came for a lot of cash. His wages are probably astronomical in, you know, commensurate with that particular fee. So again, some players who underperform, who find themselves injured, priced themselves out of the market massively. Yeah. So he may not have that many options, in my opinion.
Is there a team full of introverts somewhere you
could go to? There are rumours that the reason Tanguy's unhappy is because his mates Serge Aurier and Sissoko might be on their way out of Spurs as well. So I suppose that is a thing, you know, if you're... Your mates are leaving.
You're not that
you're
far
not
away
that happy.
From France, though, are you?
Harry Kane's probably on the way out. You know, like, he's probably just like, what's the point?
Yeah. Just get a little chopper. Fly across to see your friends and then come back again. Don't worry about it.
Meanwhile, John Stones has signed a new 5-year deal at Man City, but the Villarreal announcement of Gerard Moreno, did you see this, boys, was quite something to behold. This is amazing. He's extended his deal. And in order to announce it, they basically did a reveal like the Masked Singer.
It's amazing.
I mean, what are they doing? This is amazing. I don't even know what the character is that he's dressed as either, because he obviously, they do that big thing at the end of take it off. And they're chanting it. And I'm trying to look at the head and I don't know what it is. Mm. It's some kind of bird-beaked creature.
Yeah, they've just made up a creature.
Character. It's weird.
There he is. Look, it's like a kind of blue kind of head. Like a blue... It looks like something out of In the Night Garden.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. I love that it's a bit of an anti-climax as well, because normally they'd be like a whip, but it was just like...
Oh, it's a player we've already got.
Oh, right, okay, cool.
Yeah, him.
2027, that's a long time.
Yeah. I wonder if he negotiated a release clause.
Oh, God, I can't believe the Premier League starts in literally 2 days' time, a Friday night game kick things off. I'm excited. Are you pumped?
I am excited,
buzzing?
Yeah. For a time, it was like, oh, is this enough of a break? Turns out, yes, I am ready for it.
Yeah.
Absolutely ready.
Yeah, we're going to do our predictions after this. They're going to be in a sealed envelope. No one's going to tamper with them. And let's see who does well this season. I don't like doing this before the transfer window closes.
No, I agree.
Oh, yeah, it's not fair,
right.
Is it? I think
last
we should have two different kind of predictions, I think.
I had Villa to go down last year because we did the predictions before they signed anyone and before Grealish had signed his new deal. And now this year we're doing this before some big deals could be done.
And we also did our predictions for the Euros, not on the show, we did it on social media. So Luke got away with an astonishingly low, like, one yellow card per game prediction. Disgraceful.
So very true. Well, it is nearly here, the Premier League. Marcus, Kate and Andy are going to be looking ahead to the start of the new season on a very special live stream tomorrow on our Patreon. It's at 5 o'clock UK time. So that'll be the night before the Premier League starts on Thursday night. You can stream it live or you can watch it back if you're a Patreon subscriber. So just head to patreon.com/footballramble to get involved and make sure you check out our social pages for a predictions page where you can fill that in yourself and you can join in the fun with all the predictions as well. On tomorrow's show, Pete, you're back. You're going to be here with Mr. Spelldog and Andy Brassel. Enjoy that, Jim, Pete. Good to see you both. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.